Are you ready, Alabama? It's time to enter the doghouse.
You need to be more like a dog.
Ruff, silence, quiet!
All my boys, stand up!
We don't need a bunch of cats in here.
Yeah.
Call 866-485-9867 to get your bark on.
Hello?
Hello?
Are you a dog?
Yes!
I am also a dog.
All right!
Yeah!
We're dogs!
Yeah, we're dogs.
We're dogs that live near each other!
Live from the Big Dog Production Studios, it's the Tom Abraham Show.
Okay, folks, the guy in front of you is Tommy. He'll be taking you through my little spiel here.
Here he is, the head of the household, the Big Dog. Here's Tom Abraham.
We strong!
You all may be taking the week off, right, this week, but I'm not.
Hey, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Tradition Tuesday in the Doghouse. Get to that in a moment. One of the big breaking stories today, however, is the sudden retirement of Dale Earnhardt Jr., or the announcement that he'll retire at the end of the 2017 season. The state of Alabama is like a second home. Let's just drop in. As Jr. has just hit the podium, let's just drop in and hear a little bit about what he is saying in his prepared statement here.
Opportunity to go out on terms. I wanted to honor to Rick, to my sponsors, to my team, and to the fans. I'll admit that having influence over my exit only became meaningful when it started to seem most unlikely. As you know, I missed a few races last year, and during that time, I had to face the realization that my driving career may have already ended without me as so much getting a vote at the table. Of course, in life, we're not promised a vote, and that's especially true in racing. But during my rehab, I was given something else that I wasn't accustomed to, and that was time. Time to understand what's important to me. Time to realize the incredible support system I have in my wife, my team, and my doctors, and time to work like hell to wrestle back some semblance of say-so in this whole matter. And so that became my motivation. The opportunity to stand here at this podium to announce my choice rather than some fate that was decided for me. In that regard, the race car wasn't my goal. It was merely the vehicle that got me here today. Now, planning my exit this way gives me the chance to publicly thank those who made the last 18 years possible. First and foremost, Rick Hendrick. Without a shadow of a doubt, I think the toughest thing about this decision was having to tell you. I just didn't want to disappoint you. You mean so much to me. And so on March 29th, I drove over and had the conversation with him, and his response, he told me he loved me. Becoming a bigger part of your life has changed mine forever. You gave me guidance and direction that will reward me for as long as I live. My wife, Amy, most of you have been around long enough to know what I was like before I met Amy. Not a day goes by that someone doesn't remind me of the incredible positive impact she's had on me. Through thick and thin, Amy's support and encouragement has been constant. The rehab that I spoke of earlier, she went through it too. The only difference is she didn't have to, but she did. There were no days off. There were no hours off. There were no minutes off. It was just Amy and me. Without her help in those days of recovery, I wouldn't have been able to return to the track for this season. The second most difficult thing about this decision was telling my brothers, Greg Ives and the guys on my 88 team. It's a privilege to race with this group. Greg is one of the most talented, yet humble guys in the garage. We are very close, and I appreciate the sacrifices that he and his family have made for the good of our team. From my road crew to the pit crew to all the people in the 4888 shop, I'm a better driver and a better person from my time with you guys. You've helped me mature and grow well beyond the racetrack. We love to work together, and I look forward to every single trip we have left on the schedule this season. Kelly Earnhardt Miller, I think if I were to sum up Kelly's life in one word, it'd be sacrifice. Y'all know the stories, and they're all true. She dropped out of one school to enroll in military school, where I was, because she was worried about me. She came to work for me even though it meant she'd have to take a massive pay cut, but she knew that I needed her. She didn't think twice about it. She made it her life mission to have my back. I'm telling you today, Kelly, how much I appreciate that. Brenda Jackson, my mother, she loves me through my good races and my bad races. But what makes her uniquely my own is she definitely is going to tell me when it was a bad race. Everybody deserves to have someone in their life that you never have to wonder. And with my mother, I never have to wonder. To my father, Dale Earnhardt, I would not have been a race car driver if it not for him. He believed in me. It might have taken a little encouragement from Tony Urie Sr., but eventually Dad came around. I appreciate my father, everything he put into my career, and all the guys on the old 80 AC Delco team who gave me a shot. To all the team members and co-workers that I've worked with, I've only driven for two teams in my career. From DEI to Hendrick Motorsports, I was blessed to work with the most talented group of mechanics, body men, chassis builders, engine builders, and so on. As I matured personally, the bonds I formulated with my team became so very important to me.
They weren't just so that's Dale Earnhardt Jr. announcing his retirement courtesy of FS1. Wanted to bring you a little bit of that. That's one of the big stories today at age 43, which seems to be the magic number now. Of course, with Earnhardt, it's a little bit different because of the concussions and so on. But at age 43, he decides that it is time to exit, which he will do at the end of this season. So he can still win a championship. And those of you that think NASCAR is rigged, you know, we'll certainly buy into that if, in fact, that happens. Remember, all you got to do is win a race, get into the playoff. Once you're in the playoff, if he has a good end of the season, he could still be a champion and go out as a cup champion. So we'll see what happens with that whole thing. It will be the story for the rest of the season for sure. And look, this is not a shock. In fact, we called this before the season started. It really, to be honest with you, a Junior has won NASCAR's most popular driver award for 14 straight years. This year will be number 15. There's no question he wins it again this year. He'll finish one short of Bill Elliott's record of 16, but Elliott's weren't in consecutive seasons. They were broken up one year, but I think Michael Waltrip won it one year. Darrell Waltrip. Darrell in the middle of Elliott's run. No one has ever won 15 in a row or 14 in a row, and that's what Earnhardt will do. Out of his 19 seasons, the last 15 in a row, he's NASCAR's favorite driver. So now we've lost Jeff Gordon, Tony Stewart, and Dale Earnhardt Jr. in back-to-back-to-back years, plus Carl Edwards. Now, I honestly do believe that Edwards may show up in that 88 Hendrick ride. Man, this is rough for the sport. It really is. And if Edwards is not interested, it could be a young Alex Bowman who filled in some last year that takes that ride. Earnhardt, to date, 26 wins in his 19 seasons, 18 in change. 2004, when he was 29 years old, he peaked. That was his best year in 2004. He had 6 wins, won the Daytona 500, and over $8 million. That was his best year. He had a 4-win season about 3 years ago. And by the way, did you know that, you know, he drove the number 8 because that was his grandfather's car, Ralph Earnhardt. And did you know that Dale's name is actually Ralph? Dale is his middle name. His name is Ralph Dale Earnhardt, as was his daddy's. And that's why, you know, they're senior and junior. You know, Dale Earnhardt's name, given name, is Ralph Dale Earnhardt. Junior is Ralph Dale Earnhardt Jr. And, of course, the grandfather was Ralph, the number 8. So it'll be Jeffrey Earnhardt still running. That's Kerry's son. And we'll see where it goes from here. But you got to wonder, you got to wonder what's next and who's next. Kevin Harvick is 41. Jimmy Johnson, 41. Matt Kenseth, 45. This is the new normal. I mean, 19 years is a long time to do something in pro sports. 43 years old, boom. You're going to see guys bailing out around that age group. Carl Edwards only 37. All right, as I said, it is Tradition Tuesday in the doghouse. Every Tuesday we share with you one of the great traditions in sports. Today is no different. And with the news that Adrian Peterson is joining the Saints, I mean, the Saints, do they really need a new running back? Another running back? Didn't Mark Ingram just have the best year of his career last year? I thought he did. Anyway, it got me to thinking about the tradition, if you will, of huge NFL stars who finish their careers on random teams, usually with dubious results. Now, the poster boy for this discussion is, you know, usually Joe Namath as a Ram, O.J. Simpson as a 49er, John Unitas as a San Diego Charger. Now, some have a little success. Joe Montana took the Chiefs to the AFC Championship game in 1993. Brett Favre had maybe his greatest season ever, numbers-wise, with the Vikings in 2009, taking them to the NFC Championship. But there are a ton of other examples. Emmitt Smith with the Cardinals. Tony Dorsett as a Bronco. And how about Jerry Rice wearing Steve Largent's retired number 80 for the Seahawks in 04? Do you remember that? Or one that I watched up close and personal. Randy Moss with his 6 catches for 80 yards for $3.4 million in 8 games in 2010 with the Titans. Former Titans offensive coordinator Mike Heimerdinger told me that Moss told him that he couldn't run anymore. He couldn't separate from anyone. Now, I'm not saying that's how it's going to go for Adrian Peterson. By the way, if you think that this is a coincidence, I mean, this is, you know, when did the league schedule come out? Friday? When did we first get wind of Adrian Peterson to the Saints? Yesterday? Oh, what's the first Monday night football game of the season? The Saints at who? The Vikings? Oh, come on. The Saints at the Vikings. What a coincidence. The Saints are at the Vikings opening night of Monday night football. Yeah, this deal's been done for a week. Now, look, I'm not, you know, Peterson, by the way, is the league's active yards rusher. And he'll team with Drew Brees, who is the league's active passing yards leader. And by the way, the last time that that happened, that you've had the leading rusher and the leading passer on the same team, you take that sucker back to 1983. It was Terry Bradshaw and Franco Harris of the Pittsburgh Steelers. Alas, in 1984, Franco ended his career where? With the Seattle Seahawks. Doing what? Carrying the ball 68 times for 170 yards. That's about 2.5 yards a carry and no touchdowns. So there you go. There's another one. All right. It's a tradition. Great players go other places and finish their careers. Generally, you forget about it. You know, Ed Reed playing for the Jets. Thurman Thomas playing for the Dolphins. Who remembers that Thurman Thomas played for the Dolphins? Oh, that's right. He played for the Dolphins. There are many other examples. I'm going to throw some out at you today. That's our Tradition Tuesday tradition today. We're going to kick things off with former All-Pro defensive back Corey Chavis, who is now a draft analyst for CBSSports.com and his own website, DraftNasty.com. Now, at the top of the three, Kevin Rogers from VegasInsider.com was supposed to join us. But I'm pretty sure that T-Mac is listening to the show right now. Maybe. He might not be. He might be doing something else. Tony Mac could be doing something. He could be talking to Jen, making wedding arrangements or something, you know, sending out, you know, different, you know, invitations to Wolverine Dan and things like that. I mean, who knows? Really, we don't know what, you know, what he's doing. But having said that, T-Mac, if you're listening to the show, I just throw this out there. If you're listening to the show, why don't you, I know John Forquet was supposed to join us tomorrow to talk about the Adrian Peterson signing. Maybe you could slip him in Kevin Rogers' slot at the top of the three today. Tim Pacman is coming up at 3:25. He will help us with the Dale Jr. story. Pac worked at DEI back in the day and had an office down the hall from Jr. By the way, K-Rog is not with us today. We had a death in the family, and he's sitting Shiva? I didn't even know what that was. And I guess maybe Kevin's Jewish, but I guess sitting Shiva is like after somebody dies in a Jewish family, they like mourn for a week maybe or some. I don't know. But K-Rod, you know, I told him that we're sorry for his loss, whatever it was. I mean, typically if you're sitting Shiva, I think that means it's somebody pretty close, you know, like immediate family. So I don't know any other details. But he said I know this. I'll tell you this right now. Never in the history of the show has a guest said to me, "Hey, can I swap with tomorrow? I'm sitting Shiva." I'm like, oh, okay. Never had that one before. All right. Also on the show today, top of the four, Greg Wyshynski is in from the Puck Daddy blog. He will set up round two of the NHL playoffs to get started tomorrow night. And then NFL insider Brent Sobolewski from the Bleacher Report joins us with NFL draft talk just 2 days now till the draft and his thoughts on the AP story as well. If you got an idea what you want to contribute to the show, we invite you to get in toll free 866-485-WUMP, 866-485-9867. We got the entire digital doghouse for you to play with as well. That's our Twitter feed at Tom Abraham Show. Throw us a follow there. Facebook fan page. Throw us a like at Facebook.com/Tom Abraham Show. Then there's the text window, 732-9TA-SHOW, 732-982-7469. Doghouse inbox is open, tom@tomabraham.com. You can follow the ump on Twitter at umpsports. The ump website is umpsports.com and Facebook at Facebook.com/umpsports. The man behind the curtain playing the stacks of wax, the platters that matter, answering the phones, rescheduling my guests, pushing buttons, making sure that we stay on the air right there in our palatial ump studios. He's part Italian. He's part Mexican. He's part mutt. He's part upset that Dale Jr. has retired. His fiance calls him Antonio Macbeth to us. He just Tony Mac. Chico,
don't be discouraged. The man, he ain't so hard to understand.
Kiss my brown ass.
Do you know who I am?
Who in the blue hell are you?
I'm the producer of this show. If I didn't step up, you're nowhere. I put this thing together out of spit and polish.
You want me on that wall. You need me on that wall.
The guy's an intern.
You don't ever say that to me. Bullcrap.
All those of you that know Italians and like Italians, this is your day.
You can act like a man.
You can't speak Italian just because you have a mustache.
How come there ain't no Puerto Ricans on Star Trek?
Look, I don't speak Spanish.
Hold it right there, Mr. Fancy Pants Foreigner.
I think this is one of the traits of a really good producer. Keep the talent happy.
You do what everybody else in the media does, just create some and throw it on the wall and see what sticks.
I'm telling you, there's an embarrassing press conference in that kid's future.
I don't know how to say this, so I'm going to choose my words very carefully. I think you're a psycho.
Tom? Hey, Tom?
Oh, hey, Tom. Oh, hey, Tom. Hey, Tom. Hey, Tom. Hey, Tom. Oh, hey, Tom. Hey, Tom.
Tom, can you get me off the hook? For old time's sake.
When you ask me those kind of questions, it really pisses me off.
Should be a friggin' investigation.
We love you. We love you forever and ever.
Say hello to my new friend.
Well, welcome to America, amigo.
Hey, hey, hey. How you doing, buddy?
Hey, Big Dog, how's it going? I'm sorry. I think I heard you say my name earlier. I wasn't paying attention. You had an opening come up, so I was trying to see if John Forquet would come on at 3. You know what I mean?
Oh, that was a good idea by you.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate it.
Good work by you. Yeah. Yeah, no, that's good stuff. You know, and in a way, it's almost kind of good that K-Rodge goes to tomorrow because, you know, he's based out of Miami, even though he's VegasInsider.com, and he's a real good country hardball guy. And we're getting very, very close to it being a done deal, maybe by tomorrow. Derek Jeter and Jeb Bush are being the new owners of the Miami Marlins. Now, there's no truth to the rumor that every player on the team will wear number two. I'm just saying, I don't think that'll be that way. But remember, of course, Jeb Bush's brother, big brother, George Bush, owned the Texas Rangers. So this is a baseball family. Daddy George Bush, 41, he played baseball at Yale. I mean, back in the day when you'd leave your glove out on the mitt and then the other guy would come out and use the glove. But Derek Jeter and Jeb Bush buying the Miami Marlins. And how about Donnie Baseball working for Jeet? And I would just ask one thing. I would just beg one thing from Jeet now that he's going to be the owner of the Marlins, okay, which will become my second favorite National League team now. The only thing I would ask of Jeet is get them out of those clown uniforms and put them back in pinstripes. Yeah. Put the Marlins back in the pinstripes now that Jeet is the owner. Jeet can't own a team that wears, you know, softball uniforms.
Well, I don't know. We'd probably have to ask Jeter if he likes pinstripes. I don't know. Maybe he wore them once or twice, huh?
Yeah, I would think that pinstripes would be a really good look. Yeah. Take the names off the back and have an interlocking MM. Can you have an interlocking MM? I don't think you could do that. Have an interlocking M. They got that stupid M on it. Put the Marlin back on there.
Yeah.
Get rid of the M. You know, they had good gear. I got to be honest with you. I liked the Florida Marlins gear. Miami Marlins, no, but the Florida Marlins, I like their gear.
Oh, the Florida Marlin gear was fantastic. Like you said, the Marlin, golly, that's one of my favorite icons. I wouldn't really call it an icon. My favorite, lack of a better word, you know what I'm trying to say. I can't really say mascot either.
Logo,
there you go. I don't know why I couldn't think of logo, but I absolutely loved the Florida Marlins gear, the color scheme and everything else. So
colors were great, teal and black, all that stuff was great. And you know why they're the Miami Marlins now, right? And why they dropped the Florida Marlins, became the Miami Marlins?
And they moved to Miami?
Well, they always were in Miami. I mean, they were in, you know, Fort Lauderdale, but they were always in Miami. In fact, the minor league team used to be the Miami Marlins. All right. They had a minor league Florida Class A team called the Miami Marlins. But anyway, the city of Miami put up the money to buy the stadium, but they said, look, if we're buying the stadium, then if we're putting up the dough for the stadium, you're going to be the Miami Marlins, not the Florida Marlins. And then the Miami Marlins Class A team, they moved across the state to Fort Myers, okay?
Okay.
And then somebody said, when that happened, someone said, it'll be a miracle if they ever make it over there, you know, in Fort Myers. And so the Fort Myers people, and the team was owned by the family that was Bill Veeck's family, the Veeck family, they said, well, we'll call them the Fort Myers Miracle. And that's why Fort Myers is the Fort Myers Miracle, which I'd done a ton of things with back when I was in Florida. I'd thrown out first pitches and I got miracle crap and all kinds of stuff. But, you know, they were the Twins. Hey, you know, one of the coolest things they ever did. You know, who used to come out with me and hang out at remotes? I got a picture. I think I posted it at one point in time on a Throwback Thursday picture. You know, he used to come out and hang out with me when he was 19 years old when I would do remotes and stuff because for free food.
Who?
Joe Mauer.
Really?
Yeah. Joe Mauer would come out. There's a picture. I think it's on my Facebook page back in the, if you look in the old pictures or something, maybe I'll put it up again. But there's a picture of Joe Mauer and his brother. What's his brother's name now? They signed his brother too because they wanted to, you know, keep an eye on Joe. Anyway, there's a picture of them.
Talking about Jake. I think you're talking.
Jake Mauer?
Jake,
yeah.
I think it's Jake, Mauer.
Yeah, I think it's Jake. Anyway, there's a picture of them hanging out with me at a remote and standing behind me and stuff. And I have a signed baseball from Joe Mauer as a Class A minor leaguer. And he signed a copy of Baseball America when he was there to my sons. My sons were all like babies and stuff at the time. And he signed a thing that said, to the Abraham boys, Joe Mauer, you know, and so now I'm hoping he goes to the Hall of Fame.
That's incredible.
Yeah. And when I threw out the first pitch of opening day of spring training, 2002-ish, something like that, right? It was opening day of 2002, something like that. Anyway, spring training, and the Twins were playing the Red Sox, who also trained there in Fort Myers. Anyway, so they asked me to throw out the first pitch, right?
Right.
So I throw out the first pitch, and the kid that's a catcher is actually a first baseman, but they had him catch the first pitch, and he's wearing number 61. And the guy who was the PR guy for the Fort Myers Miracle says to me, look, that kid that's catching, he's going to be pretty good someday. All right. So, that's, you know, he's our first baseman, but he's going to be pretty good someday. Have him sign the ball. So, okay. I throw out the first pitch. They give me the ball. And then I ask this kid, right? I said, here, sign this ball for me. Cause they said, you might be pretty good someday. So he signs the ball. He gives me the ball. It was Justin Morneau. Went on to become, American League, MVP, Justin Morneau. So, and anyway, that's, you know, part of my story. All right. Give me a little bit of, give me some minutia, will you? Cause I didn't get my minutia yesterday from you. I need a little bit of Tony Mack minutia. What do you
get? You know, you missed a good one yesterday. It was Chipper Jones' birthday yesterday. I'm just saying.
Whose birthday?
Chipper Jones was yesterday.
Chip's birthday yesterday? Okay.
But today in 1974, the NFL moved the goalposts to the back of the end zone and they adopted the sudden death playoff rule. And 1978, Philly Fanatic made his first appearance as the Phillies mascot. 1989, Mario Lemieux ties the NHL playoff record, 4 goals in the first period. Wow. And then,
you know what? I think it's just cool that you finally said Mario Lemieux right.
And then, I figured you'd like that. So Matthew Stafford, first pick by the Lions in 2009. And then in 1962, Adam Silver, the NBA commissioner, was born. He is 55 today.
Happy birthday, Adam Silver.
And then 1976, Tim Duncan was born. He is 41 today. And that's a little bit of your Tony Mack minutia. Maybe we'll look back here next year and say that this was the day I got Mario Lemieux's name right.
No, next year you'll say this is the day that Dale Earnhardt Jr. announced his retirement from NASCAR.
You're exactly right.
You know, in this particular day. So it could be that way. I'm not sure. All right, lot to do, but Corey Chavis is standing by. So when we come back, we're kicking things off talking NFL draft with former All-Pro defensive back Corey Chavis next, right here in the Tom Abraham Show, 730-1039. Yep.
Sports Radio, 730-1039. The Ump. From the University of Alabama, this is Crimson Tide Today. It's a daily update on Bama sports, and it's brought to you by Dex Imaging, the official copier and printer provider for Alabama athletics. Hello, everybody. I'm Chris Stewart. The Alabama Crimson Tide welcomes Jacksonville State to Sewell Thomas Stadium on Tuesday night for the second game of the season series between the two in-state teams. The Tide and the Gamecocks are set for a 6 o'clock first pitch in that midweek matchup. You can see the game live on the SEC Network Plus. You can also hear radio coverage on the Crimson Tide Sports Network beginning at 5:55. It'll be the 37th matchup all time between the two programs, and again the second this season. The Tide holding a 28-8 all-time advantage in the series, including a 24-5 record in games played on its home turf. Jacksonville State came away with a 2-1 victory in 10 innings when the two teams met earlier this season. Again, first pitch for tonight set for 6 o'clock, radio coverage beginning at 5:55. I'll have more in a moment.
You know, you hear a lot of coaches talk about class. You're not born with it, nor can you buy it. In a lot of ways, class is how you carry yourself and how you treat others. At Dex Imaging, they treat everybody with class, from their employees to their customers to their business partners. So if you need a copier and printer company that understands class, then give Dex Imaging a call. Dex Imaging, the official copier and printer provider of Alabama Athletics.
Coach Patrick Murphy's Alabama softball team is also in action tonight. The Tide's traveling to Birmingham to take on the Samford Bulldogs. First pitch from Samford's stadium is set for 6 o'clock. And then this weekend, the Crimson Tide will be playing games Saturday, Sunday, and Monday at Ole Miss. That's your Bama update. Crimson Tide Today, brought to you by Dex Imaging, is a production of the Crimson Tide Sports Network.
Got a paint project you haven't started? Now's the time to begin. The Home Depot has Behr Premium Plus interior paint starting at just $23.97. It's a paint and primer in one, so you're not covering the same wall over and over. You paint it, then move on to the next one. We're pouring more into paint with unbeatable prices on Behr Premium Plus interior paint, now starting at just $23.97. The Home Depot. More saving. More doing. U.S. only. See store for details.
times with your family last a lifetime with the help of Madison RV Super Center. Are you ready to hit the open road in your own RV, fifth wheel, or travel trailer? Or do you need a toy hauler? With hundreds to choose from and a huge variety of brands and price ranges, Madison RV Super Center has what you need. Madison RV Super Center has the best, most experienced sales and service team in Alabama and are ready to meet your RV needs better than anyone. Visit us today and experience the difference Madison RV Super Center can make.
You can learn to DIY just about anything.
Today I'm going to teach you how to defend yourself in a court of law. It's important to wear a fancy suit. That way, if they ask for evidence, you can point to it and say, Exhibit A.
After all, some things are better left to the pros, like buying a home. Because without an expert to guide you, you could be headed for trouble.
If you're backed into a corner, throw out a few objections. Works every time.
So DIY yourself a favor and get Realtor. Head to Realtor.com/getrealtor today. Realtors are members of the National Association.
Brought to you by Kubota. He's the neighbor with the RN Zero Turn. He mows, maintains, shapes, and perfects. He takes pride in himself and this place he calls home. This is why he does it. Kubota. Find your local Kubota dealer at AlabamaKubotaDealers.com.
A good supply of sunshine today. Noticeably warmer this afternoon, the high around 80. For tonight, mostly fair with the low at 57. Tomorrow, we stay warm and dry with a sunny sky, the high 85. Thursday, becoming mostly cloudy. Showers and strong thunderstorms are likely, the high 77. I'm James Spann on Sports Radio 730 and 103.9 The Ump.
No time to get on the phone? Tweet the big dog at Tom Abraham Show. Here's Tom Abraham.
I don't know if Corey remembers this. Back when I was in Nashville, Al Smith used to do an hour of the show with me each day, and we did the show one day on the back porch. Well, we did several days, but we did a show. We were at Vanderbilt back during the James Franklin era, and Corey was there and came by and joined us, and we talked draft back then. It was right around the time I think he started Draft Nasty when he joined us. He may or may not remember that, but he joins us now here on the Woody Anderson Ford VIP Hotline. Corey, welcome in. How are you, man?
I'm doing good, man. I do remember that, man. That was pretty cool, y'all having me on. I had a lot of fun.
That was a lot of fun. We always had a good time there. And it's funny because, you know, none of the schools in the SEC, they don't allow, you know, anybody to see any of practice because it's like they're splitting the atom or something. But Franklin, he always had, like, open doors. Come on down. In fact, he used to beg us, come on down and watch my team practice. It was different then.
That's one of the things I think has made James Franklin unique in terms of the ability to be able to ingratiate that part of it was still having a very sound philosophy overall in terms of football. So it's a good combination.
Well, it was nice to see him take that team to the Rose Bowl last year, and I think they're just going to get better and better there at Penn State. By the way, before we get into the draft, we were just talking about Adrian Peterson. Of course, you played for the Vikings, and Adrian Peterson going to the Saints, and how ironic it is that opening night of Monday Night Football is the Saints at the Vikings. Everybody's making a big deal like this just came out of nowhere. And this deal was done for a week. That the NFL didn't put the Saints at the Vikings, not knowing that Adrian Peterson was going to be with the Saints. Come on now.
Oh, you think they actually did, mate? They actually did. Okay, well, I mean,
come on. Think about it.
A surprise, a little bit, but I guess so. I mean, it seems like he might be in a complimentary role with the Saints.
Yeah, I would think. I mean, they got Mark Ingram there, and you know, it'd be interesting to see how he does. But I just thought it was kind of funny to see that happen, and then all of a sudden, boom! You know, there's the Monday night game. I think they were tipped off. I think they knew that this was going to happen, and that's why you got Saints at Vikings to kick things off. All right, what do you think about Warren Sapp's comments about Myles Garrett? I mean, you know, the guy looks like a physical freak, and Sapp says he's lazy, just makes splash plays. That kind of came out of left field, too. What were your thoughts hearing that, and what is your evaluation of Myles Garrett?
Well, I don't have many thoughts on – I don't evaluate somebody else's evaluation. Although, I guess I'm in the business of people evaluating what I evaluate, which is fine. But if that's his opinion, great. But, you know, in terms of what I thought about Garrett, I thought he was a player that you could certainly look at games like against Lyle Collins from LSU in 2014 and be concerned in terms of the run game. But I thought those things improved markedly, you know, throughout his career. And I thought he played with a little bit better base as a run defender this past season. And there was a concern for me, it would be about some slight balance issues. But it clearly a guy that was flexible, rubbery enough. I think he's somebody that could bend the corner. I think he's got legitimate length, and I think he does a pretty good job of posting on occasion. And I actually have seen him in person twice. I shot a couple of his bowl games, and in those two bowl games, he had four sacks. 25 of his 32 and a half sacks came at home, or 24 or something in that range. So, you know, just being a little bit more productive on the road would be something that could be a focus.
Is there any doubt in your mind, though, that he's got to be the first pick, or is that something where, you know, Cleveland, which is quarterback starved, you know, I don't know that there's a quarterback in his draft that is, you know, worthy of the number one overall pick. But, I mean, has this got to be the pick for the Browns?
Well, I mean, I think he's the best pick. But, I mean, again, you got a lot of different factors working when you've got an owner, you've got a general manager, you've got a pro personnel person, a college director of scouting, you've got a head coach, you've got an offensive coordinator, a quarterback's coach. Then you've got defensive coordinator. So all of those different factors are kind of blending in, and you're trying to kind of figure out, you know, what the pick is going to be, and a lot of different opinions.
Yeah. This seems to be, of course, the Titans will pick fifth, and they're in need of a corner. They're in need of defensive back help. They could use a safety. But this seems to be a ridiculously deep draft when it comes to DBs, a position you know really well, don't you think?
Yeah, this is definitely a deep. In terms of just safeties and slash nickelbacks, we had 25 guys with at least third-round grades or better. And then cornerbacks, it was in the 20 range in terms of third-round grades or better. So that's 45 players just at those two positions. So I definitely think there's a lot of depth in comparison to other seasons or other years, draft seasons. But if you've got a player that you think is one of the top players in the draft and you've got an opportunity to take them early, I think you go ahead and take that player.
Corey Chavis with us, draftnasty.com is his website, and he does a lot of other stuff as well in the media analyzing the draft. You had the kid out of Ohio State, Garyon Conley, ranked a little bit higher than Marshawn Lattimore, I believe. Conley, we just found out today, got himself jammed up in Cleveland in some sort of a deal. I don't know what will happen with that deal. But can something like that, I mean, do you expect that to really hurt his stock when a guy gets jammed up like that?
Yeah, well, I don't know. I didn't know the extent of what happened, so I can't really comment from that aspect. You probably could inform me a little bit there. But mm-hmm. if you're in a mix with a deep cornerback class and you were looked at, I mean, I think that'll be the third guy that I think we had in our top 10 that's been jammed up in some type of a previous thing. And in our top 25 players, you got a litany of those. I don't know if I've ever seen a year with more players that have something going on. And with it being this close to the draft, whatever it was that he got jammed up in, that could certainly hurt his stock. Because as you just mentioned, it's a deep cornerback and just defensive back class, period.
Yeah, he is. He's not going to attend the draft, just for the sake of you and our listeners, in case they did not hear the story. According to TMZ, a police report explains that 23-year-old woman said that Conley raped her in the bathroom of a suite at the Westin Hotel in Cleveland yesterday. Police report reportedly explains that that the alleged victim claims she met Conley in an elevator and blah blah blah. It gets very graphic. Conley's attorney says that the accusation is ludicrous and ridiculous, and she's a young lady who is an opportunistic and despicable. So there's a lot of he said, she said, but he is facing this accusation of sexual assault, and, you know, 2 days before the draft. And he was in Cleveland to visit with the Browns.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think the thing about that is, in terms of the vetting process, you don't have enough time to figure out, you know, the truth of the matter. I guess it would depend on whether she went to the hospital, you're going into a whole lot of different things there. So some teams might be able to vet that and find out whether it was legitimate. Because certainly if she went and he had all of those things done and there was some proof, then, you know, I think that would make it even more difficult. A couple years back, we saw what happened with Lyle Collins. We just mentioned him a minute ago. You know, you saw what happened with him. Not enough time for teams to correctly vet the process, and a young man ends up getting not drafted. And he was another guy that we had a pretty high grade on. So, ultimately, you hope that, you know, that he didn't do it, you know what I'm saying, whatever those accusations are. That's probably the number one thing that would be the focus at this point.
Yeah, that was amazing. Collins didn't even get drafted, and then he was cleared, and he signed with the Cowboys. And so it'll be interesting to see how quickly they sort this out with Conley. Corey Chavis with us. What about the Adams kid at safety? I think you touched on him a little bit, but who do you have the Titans taking at five? Do you think they stay there? And if they do stay there, do they take Adams if he's on the board?
Well, it's interesting. I thought that Lattimore would be the pick potentially. Is he a top five corner? You don't have the off the field that Conley just went through, because Conley was actually looked at before we just went through this as one of the cleaner prospects in terms of dependability. So now the question marks with Lattimore, who was another guy, like you mentioned, that was ranked a little bit behind Conley with a first-round grade. He has the injury history. So I think that's the big question with him. But I think from a talent perspective, he'd be a good match for what they do schematically. And I think he'd be a decent projection, even in the top five, if he clears their medicals, because you have no idea whether he's been off the board with the medicals, considering he's actually had surgery on the hamstrings or the lower body extremity injuries.
Which would be the first quarterback off the board, do you think?
Well, I think the first quarterback off the board ultimately will probably end up being, in my opinion, Deshaun Watson. But that wasn't, you know, I still think Patrick Mahomes has the most upside of all the quarterbacks in the draft. But I know that there have been, you know, slight talk that maybe he's moving up. But I still would be surprised if he did not go in the first round. I think all of these quarterbacks are legitimate second-round prospects, at least the top five. And then I think there's a couple of three to four third-round prospects as well. So I think actually the quarterback class has a little bit more depth than given credit for. I just don't know if there's a top-tier quarterback potentially available. However, I mean, we've seen it in years past. I think 2011 being a prime example where quarterbacks kind of move up late in the draft process. There were a lot of quarterbacks that year that went way higher than expected.
Are you buying on Mitchell Trubisky, who just started for 1 year? We don't have a ton of tape on him, but he has shot up so many boards. What's your stance on the Trubisky kid?
Well, I thought he was a good player. I really did. And even going back to last season, 85%, 40 out of 47 in the limited action. He had one start in 2015, six touchdowns, no interceptions, ran for one touchdown. So it wasn't like when he played a year ago that he was, you know, just didn't play well. And then this season, again, kept the turnovers to a minimum. Second-round grade from us, thought he was a player that had significant developmental potential. Wasn't as excited about his performance against Georgia. That was his first start this year, or his last start against Stanford. Thought he played well against Duke, struggled in the fourth quarter of that game. Thought he struggled to control the ball against Virginia Tech in the rain. However, in that game, I counted at least seven drop passes. So up and down, for the most part, his film was pretty consistent. I think he's a player that, you know, teams obviously feel like is one of the more accurate passers in the class.
Yeah, former All-Pro defensive back Corey Chavis, our guest from DraftNasty.com. All right, last couple of questions. We have seen Reuben Foster out of Alabama and, of course, Jabril Peppers out of Michigan. We hear about these diluted tests. Both guys say they were pounding the water. I think one might have been sick and one was, you know, whatever it was, they were, you know, really crushing the water and so on. Are we buying these stories, and does it even matter at this point in time? Do you think anybody would pass on a Reuben Foster or a Jabril Peppers, who maybe is a little bit later on in the first round because of a diluted test?
I think it hurt Peppers more than Foster. I think with Foster, you're talking about a player who was widely, you know, just from the people that I talked to around the league, as a top 10 caliber player. I think it could drop him into the teens or maybe even the late 20s. With Peppers, I think you're looking at a guy who we had ranked. We had both of those guys in terms of our top players as well. We just mentioned it. But there's a lot more questions. Seems like a lot of teams have forgotten that he played corner as a freshman before going down to injury. I would actually be more concerned about the slight durability hiccups that Peppers has had at the most inopportune times, whether it was the bowl game this year. People forget he did not play in the bowl game in 2015, the Citrus Bowl. I went to that game to shoot it and see him, one of the players. He didn't play. And then you had the injury problems again from that freshman year, which he basically ended up playing in two games. And then people forget he played corner, and then he got hurt, and then he didn't play the rest of the year with the red shirt. So those things would concern me as much as a diluted sample.
Yeah, Foster. I watched Foster play his entire career since he come out of high school. My concern with him is he'll kill himself, you know, a la Colin McCarthy or something like that. He hits. I've never seen a guy close that fast with such reckless abandon. They used to. I mean, I know, you know, he kept hurting himself on kickoff when he was a freshman. And they had to work on his technique because he was just ringing his bell all the time. And that's the thing I would worry about with Foster is that can he dial it down just a hair so that he doesn't kill himself out there.
Well, you know, it's funny that you mentioned that because it brings back memories, take you back to the 2006 NFL draft, Ernie Sims, similar concerns coming out of Florida State, similar size with the tackling technique, and then those problems resurfaced at the next level. So I definitely think you make an outstanding point because that's something that is hard to coach out of somebody. I played with a lot of guys like that. You know, they just lead with the crown of their helmet. And that leads to a lot of problems in terms of potential head injuries. And, you know, it's just something that is, and also leads to missed tackles as well at the next level. You got to keep your head up in the NFL. You've got to wrap. Even if you're going to do some dive tackling and explode through the legs, you still have to keep your head up and see the target. And I think that's what you're referring to. And I think it's a great point by you.
Corey, great job by you. As always, draftnasty.com is the website. They cover all kinds of stuff, the NBA as well there. Corey Chavis has been our guest. Corey, good to catch up with you again, man.
Yeah, no doubt, man. I really enjoyed it, man. I appreciate you.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
Right, there you go. Corey Chavis. What did he say? I think he said it was an excellent point by me. Or did he say it was a great point by me? Or did he say it was an outstanding point by me? It was either an excellent point by me or an outstanding point by me. I mean, he clearly appreciates my ability to evaluate defensive talent. I think he said great talent. I don't know. We might have to go to the tape. We'll have to see. Maybe it'll show up in the rewind. I think, did he say it was a great point, an excellent point, or an outstanding point?
Well, I think he said it was great, but it sounds like it's going to take you a long time to toot your horn. So you might want to get a break while you work that process.
We'll get a break, and I'll try and figure out what Corey Chavis said about me. All right, we'll be back. It's the Tom Abraham Show. 730-1039.
Sports Radio 730 and 1039. The Ump.
This is Jim Rome with a CBS Sports Minute brought to you by Kidde. Smart, simple security. No disrespect to any of the remaining teams, but we may as well just give the Larry O'Brien trophy right now to Golden State because they have never been so dominant or as motivated as they are right now. And that beatdown that they laid on Portland shows that they're better now than they've ever been. This is exactly what the Warriors envisioned and what the rest of the NBA was tripping so hard about when they added Kevin Durant. The team that you're seeing right now, because they knew this would happen and they knew there'd be no beating these guys because right now they do look unstoppable. If you're the best, deepest, and most motivated, you're not coming off the floor without that hardware. I would never say cancel the postseason after only one round, but go ahead and cancel the postseason after only one round because nobody is beating Golden State. I'm Jim Rome.
By the time that we got up there, his room was filled with smoke.
The wind had blown and drifted the snow up against the side of my house, blocking the exhaust from my furnace.
I heard the smoke alarm going off in my friend's apartment.
Without the Kidde smoke alarm, my son would not be here today.
And had it not been for that carbon monoxide detector, they would come to school and not have their teacher there.
I grabbed my fire extinguisher and put out the fire.
Kidde makes technology that saves lives.
Get these essential products at the Home Depot.
The only guaranteed way to love your boss is to be your own boss. Well, when you drive with Uber, the only boss of you is you. Up early and eager to earn? Start driving.
Have a couple hours to kill after your 9-to-5? Approved. Feel like making every day a payday? Go ahead. You can get paid right away with Uber's Instant Pay. Just turn on the app and get your side hustle on. So start driving with Uber today to be your own boss, boss. Visit uber.com/drive now. That's uber.com/drive now.
2 months.
Now it's time for your Atlanta Braves update, presented by Mizuno, the official baseball gear partner of the Atlanta Braves.
The Braves are off yesterday, but they are back in the action tonight. I'm Ben Ingram, and this is your Atlanta Braves Radio Network update.
There's no better way to experience the inaugural season at SunTrust Park than by becoming an A-list member. See a full list of membership benefits. Visit braves.com/A-list.
The Braves needed the off day yesterday. They've lost six in a row, and the Braves yesterday had an opportunity to get away from baseball, clear their heads. Hopefully that finds a way into their play tonight as they look to be rejuvenated and refreshed as they take on the New York Mets. Losers of six straight. Seen some good things lately. Mike Foltynewicz was good a few days ago. So was Matt Kemp.
Matt Kemp is in there waiting on Eflin, and the first pitch is hit in the air to right field and deep, going back is Altair on the warning track at the wall. Looks up. It's gone on the first pitch of the seventh. Matt Kemp dents the scoreboard. And it's 1-0 Atlanta. Opposite field home run for Kemp, his first since coming off the disabled list.
But that in the end, not enough. Phillies beat the Braves 5-2 on Sunday. And now the Braves re-rack tonight against the New York Mets. Second trip to New York this season. This evening, it'll be Julio Teheran versus Robert Gsellman. 7:10 Eastern time with the first pitch, 6:10 Central. And we'll have all that action right here on the Atlanta Braves Radio Network. I'm Ben Ingram. This has been your Atlanta Braves Radio Network update.
Got a paint project you haven't started? Now's the time to begin. The Home Depot has Behr Premium Plus interior paint starting at just $23.97. It's a paint and primer in one, so you're not covering the same wall over and over. You paint it, then move on to the next one. We're pouring more into paint with unbeatable prices on Behr Premium Plus interior paint, now starting at just $23.97. The Home Depot. More saving. More doing. U.S. only. See store for details.
Call 866-485-9867 to get your bark on. Here he is, the head of the household, the big dog, Tom Abraham.
Life is so strange when it's changing. Yes, indeed. Yeah, I've seen the hard times and the pressure's been on me.
Like welcome back, Tom Abraham Show. Like coming up at the top of the hour, former St. John Forte will join us on the news of Adrian Peterson landing in New Orleans. See how that plays down there. It just seems weird. Now, he might have a pretty good run. You know, he might have a pretty good run there. Yeah, I mean, he might have do something. He didn't do anything, though. His running backs, it's tough, man. It's tough with running backs. Our Tuesday tradition is players that finish their career on just random teams. Some of these guys like T-Mac won't even remember. You know, guys like Joe Namath and John Unitas and, you know, way be Jim Taylor. Jim Taylor was a pick of the New Orleans Saints in the expansion draft back in 67. The great Jim Taylor, the Green Bay Packer great Jim Taylor. He finished with the Saints. That was weird. Of course, I was just a little boy then. I was like 6 years old then. But here's one that T-Mac will remember. T-Mac, you remember Eddie George playing for the Cowboys. That was a little disturbing, wasn't it?
Yeah, maybe just a little, but, you know, I was young. It didn't bother me as much as it would have now. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, he played 8 games and had 432 yards total for the Cowboys. Earl Campbell playing for the Saints. Anybody remember that? In the middle of the 1984 season, he was traded from the Oilers to the Saints. One rushing touchdown in a season and a half. T-Mac will remember this one just recently. LaDainian Tomlinson as a New York Jet. How weird was that?
Yeah, that was weird. I mean, heck, the most recent one I can remember is Frank Gore. Bouncing all over the place. He's still in Indy, isn't he?
Yeah. He had a pretty decent season last year. All right. Coming up, John Forcade talks Adrian Peterson in New Orleans right here on 730-1039.
730 and 1039, The Ump. More sports. It's now time for Time to Kill with Arky Shea.
We mourn the passing of an era with the Dale Earnhardt Jr. retirement announcement today. And you know what? It couldn't have come at a better time for Dale Jr. He's retiring after earning $400 million in his NASCAR career. Now, what does that mean in real money? Well, racing real money means he earned $87.8 million of that throughout his Sprint Cup career. And what about his daddy? You know, the guy who's won three times as many races? Well, he only earned $42 million. Boy, times sure have changed. I remember back in my day when you got $40 million, you earned it. And not off the laurels of me being your daddy, the Intimidator. But congratulations, Dale Jr. Rich, fun, white, and amazing.
Don't miss the Sports Flood with Arky Shea, Saturday mornings, 9 a.m., only on The Ump.
All right, Tide fans, listen up, because your next chance to hear Alabama baseball will be Thursday as the Tide come back home to Sewell Thomas Stadium to take on the LSU Tigers. Coverage starts at 6:25 p.m., all right here on The Ump. Roll Tide!
Guys don't really talk about antiperspirant. Despite that, 91% of Dove Men Plus Care users recommend it. Here's what they said.
It blocks the, perspiration, I think is the fancy word.
It's comfortable.
it smells nice. My girl likes the smell.
Well, it's
hard.
I think it's quite masculine. My underarms aren't the worst thing at the gym.
It's kind of like the Hoover Dam from my armpits, I guess.
Dove Men Plus Care antiperspirant. Tough on sweat, not on skin.
Hiring is the most challenging part of my job. It's really hard. The searching, the sorting through resumes. Most people don't have the right experience.
We started using ZipRecruiter about 3 months ago. Right from the start, you could tell it was going to make hiring a lot easier. One click and my job was posted to 100-plus job boards, all the top sites.
All of the candidates came to my dashboard, and it's easy to compare them. Thumbs up if I liked them. Thumbs down if I didn't. No emails and attachments, printing up docs, phone calls, none of that.
And I couldn't believe the number of great applicants we got. I had the person we needed within 1 week. I don't know how we hired before ZipRecruiter.
Whether you're looking to fill one position or 20, find the best candidates with ZipRecruiter, where your job is just one click away from 100-plus job sites. ZipRecruiter, the fastest way to hire. And right now you can try ZipRecruiter free. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/talent. That's ZipRecruiter.com/talent. ZipRecruiter.com/talent.
Tonight, the voice is live, and the fate of the Final 12 is in your hands.
So use those hands to grab your apps, vote live, and let your voice be heard, America.
Okay, who is going to get your instant save and make it to the top 11?
You know what? I want them all to stay.
Then after The Voice, it is a new comedy from Tina Fey and Robert Carlock.
Two of the very funny minds behind 30 Rock.
And they are putting those minds to good use. Mm-hmm. It is the premiere of Great News tonight, right after The Voice, live on
NBC.
That's one way to say it. Napa Know
How. Tooling around the yard on a riding mower isn't just yard time. That's listen to the game time, enjoy the great outdoors time, or maybe just think about absolutely nothing time. Unless you've got a dead battery, that's no fun time. So head to Napa, where lawn and garden batteries are as low as $21.99 with exchange. That's $21.99, just in time for mowing time. That's Napa Know How. Napa Know How. At participating Napa Auto Parts stores. Offer expires 4/30/17.
This is power. This is freedom. This is tradition.
It's Dale Earnhardt with a lead.
This is being who you were meant to be, where you were meant to be. This is more than a race. This is Talladega. The biggest party in NASCAR returns May 5th through 7th for the Geico 500. Call 877-GO-TO-DEGA for tickets.
Keep your lawn looking awesome with Superior Lawn Care. Use our probiotic lawn care program and expect less weeds in a very thick, green, and lush yard. Better results while using 70% less chemicals. Biologically, we help nourish your lawn and support healthy growth and roots. Our lawn care specialists are ready to help you with the necessary products to maximize the beauty of your lawn. Now is the time. Visit IHateWeeds.com to set up your free quote. Superior Lawn Care. We come. Weeds go.
Every day, the men and women of the United States Marine Corps stand ready to defend the American way of life. The few, the proud.
WUMP Madison, W28 OBA Madison Huntsville, a Cumulus station. Sports Radio 730 and 103.9. The